Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bourassa.
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point, coming to you live to tape from Glen Burnie, Maryland. And with me, as always, to celebrate yet another week of Caps hockey, is the beautiful, wonderful Mermaid Mentalist. She'll throw a meme at you and teach you a lesson if you're not looking. And do other things in this, I don't know, she's hopefully in a festive mood now. Miss Anna Knox.
Hello, I'm in a very festive mood. It's kind of surprising after Thanksgiving and the holidays, people sometimes are like, oh, it's Monday, but I'm good. And I'm good because we are coming off a fantastic week of Caps hockey.
Yes, most definitely. Very awesome week on the ice. Unfortunately, not so much off the ice.
Right.
As I'll get to in a little bit and more so towards the end. But, yes, very great week to be a Caps fan this week, as hopefully you all saw. And we're going to recap that. But first... Anything outstanding from this past holiday weekend?
Oh my gosh. No. I finished my paper. Yay. It's been like 100 years since I had to write a research paper. So, yep. And thank you for your offer. I was like, hey, I could pay somebody to do this. You were like, I may think about it. How about that? But I managed to get through it. No, we had a really quiet, mellow holiday, and it was exactly what I think everybody needed. We had friends that cooked Thanksgiving dinner for us with another couple. That was just awesome, and we had lots of drinks and lots of food and lots of laughs, and it was all good. It was all good. So I had a good holiday. And whatever, it was good to see my students today. I have to admit, they couple of them actually said that they missed me, so it's very sweet. But how about you? We never talked about what you and Jenny and everybody were doing out in Glen Burnie.
Well, actually, I split time between my side of the family. Jenny and I actually had her folks in a couple weekends ago.
So kind of
had an early Thanksgiving. Her brother lives in a Deal. Pretty sure you know where that is.
No.
Deal, Maryland.
Why would I know that?
Isn't that where a mutual friend of ours lives?
In Deal.
Okay. I might be thinking. Sorry, I might be thinking of something else. I don't know.
But your other podcast partner. No, I don't know. I don't reckon. I don't know. You'll have to fill me in later, because right now it's not me.
That's fine. Anyway, her brother lives down there on the Haba. You're gonna smack me for that later.
I am.
You know, I had to slip that in. I had to.
It's not the same when it's in Maryland. If you were telling me you were in Boston, I would be like, oh, hey, I'll let it slide, even though it's still annoying. When it's in Maryland, come on, like, they have a whole other accent. So, whatever. All right, so you guys were all together.
Yes, her brother came up, and we went out and had a dinner at this Mexican place by the airport. But that was 2 weeks ago, early Thanksgiving, for real Thanksgiving, quote-unquote. Spent time with my mom, my brother for the first half, and pretty much a quiet dinner with Mrs. Blue Liner and myself. She, of course, has the culinary skills, so she went all out for just the two of us anyway. And so that was kind of nice, a kind of cozy dinner that we had.
It's not kind of nice. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It is. I mean, please. But I will say that I'm friends with your brother on Instagram and Facebook. And so I've been meaning to ask him how his Vegas trip was. Because that, was one of my favorite places when I lived out on the West Coast and I was half my age and whatever. But then he did post a picture yesterday. Like, it wasn't of your mom's face, but it was cooking or whatever it was. And I thought that was very sweet. I was hoping you guys were all going to be together, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, no, we were. And I happened to, catch that picture myself and had the little chuckle of the caption that I won't say he posted, but
I didn't see that part. So yeah, maybe you'll have to, don't need to talk about it.
You'll have to go back and check that out. But
okay,
neither here nor there. But yeah, other than that, fairly good times. I'm just going to put this out there. Great big black mark on the whole weekend, of course, was the tragedy I've already mentioned. Fellow fan and a friend of mine I was lucky enough to meet a few months ago at the wedding I officiated, Rebecca Thomas, unfortunately, passed away. I'm certainly not pushing that aside, but I wanted to get that out there. So if I seem a little down or refer to that black mark over the weekend, then that's pretty much it. And believe me, I will give her due after we record the main part of this episode. So, but yeah, just want to put that out there, in case anybody's confused. This show is, of course, this episode is being dedicated in her memory. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So just wanted to put that out there in case anybody was wondering, but I'm sure she was smiling where she was at the end results of all four of these games that were played.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I know when you told me what had happened, and I know I did not meet her, but she was obviously well liked by many people, having read the Facebook page and with the Caps connection and whatever else. So it's absolutely tragic, somebody that young to leave so early. But I agree. I think that she's up there, kind of, hell yeah, look at our boys, they're coming back. And at that, we just have to, embrace that, and dedicating the show to her is amazing. So, so I know you have a little thing to do after the show, but I think that she would want the spirit of the Winds to be coming across, as pumped as we are, she is too.
Yeah. And I totally agree. And that's, yeah, I think that's what her mindset would be. So, yep. Let's just go ahead and get into it. Four games, as we mentioned. The first of which was the day we recorded last, this past Monday, and it was against a team that was something of a pain in the butt to play against, that we had a lead against and somehow frittered it away. So it was revenge time, at least I thought, and that was against the Montreal Canadiens, and it was a great 5-4 win. So going over the scoring, Mike Riley opened it, assisted by Matthew Pekka, 9:20 into the first with a wrister. Brett Connolly ties it about 4 minutes later with a wrister of his own, assisted by Carlson and Orlov. That's Carlson's 15th assist of the season.
On fire.
Amazing. As we'll talk about more in a bit here.
Yes.
So, and then the captain puts the Caps up 2-1 with his 14th of the year. parks himself in the net, in front of the net, right place, right time, and who starts the play? But our newly returned spirit of the team, wearing number 43 with his third assist.
So good. So good. You have to admit, I don't care if you, not you personally, Gil, because we wouldn't be able to do the show if you hated Tommy. But you have to admit, he looks fucking awesome.
Oh, I don't hate Tom. I don't hate Tommy.
No,
at
no, that's
all.
What I mean. No.
He is on fire.
You and I couldn't do the show if you hated him, because it would just, I wouldn't be able to control myself. But goddamn, like, he looks, yeah, he is hot, literally, and on ice. And he, I'm so happy for him, because I feel like, you know, so many of, there are some fans, Caps fans, that aren't, you know, a big Wilson fan. And there are other people out there that, well, I just don't care what they think, but they don't like him.
What's he doing on the top line? Well,
What's he doing on the top line? He's kicking ass.
Guess what he's doing on the top line? Making the team better.
Right. And then I don't know about you, but I was a little bit a little moment with my Tommy when I saw the. Did you see the Ovi interview? I don't know if you saw when they were talking about him coming back, and it's sort of like, you know, Ovechkin has this, you know, very much like a dad feeling in the locker room. Like, you know, these are his boys. These are, you know, his teammates. This is his family. And someone is like just, you know, a leader, and you can't help but just look up to an Alex Ovechkin and think that guy's just a badass. But he had so many great things to say about Tom Wilson, and one of them just being his, you know, just like that, his vibe in the locker room that everybody, you know, just gravitates to. And if I was in the locker room, I would too. And I think, you know, that to me is speaking volumes on that maturity that I was really hoping to see at the beginning of this season. Even though he started, you know, like, I was hoping to see a leadership role. He wasn't ready because he got the ridiculous suspension. But now I feel like he has come back and really, you know, he's taking this seriously. And I cannot say enough great things about that. And good for him, and good for the players for seeing, you know, Tom Wilson as not just a fighter, not just, you know, pain train on ice, but for somebody who really has an ability to do leadership, you know, offer a good vibe in the locker room, get everybody pumped up, and people want to play better when he's on the ice. And I think that to me is, I'm so proud for him for that exact reason.
Look, I totally agree with everything you just said. And so if you, the listener, are wondering, well, why did they just spend about 2-3 minutes talking about Tom Wilson and what he's accomplished? Well, number one, ever since he came back, I'm sure everybody's noticed, everybody's got that extra spring in their skate now. Everybody's playing like they've got nothing to fear. Everybody's playing like their skill set is bumped up 20 points or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay? So he does make that difference. And besides which, well, I don't know where else Tommy is going to get. Look at me calling him Tommy like he's my dad. Now you got me doing it.
Because he is Tommy and he's adorable.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, but where else is he going to get this kind of love, which, sorry, but he deserves it because he does make the team better. I'm sorry. You got to admit it.
And if you've ever been on a team with somebody who can come out and get everybody motivated and, you know, get everybody focused and make jokes and whatever else, that's your leader. You know, you have the Ovechkins, of course. You have the Backstroms and the Kuzis, the vet players that are focused and patient, and they know they've kind of been there, done that. You know, like, they don't need to to have the rah-rah-rah kind of moments. If Tommy wants to come in and do it and take that role, hats off to him because he has earned it. And I like, you know, I think he's playing well. Everything about what I'm seeing so far is great. And, you know, I'm unfortunately tonight, Clutterbuck, not that I'm sorry to like jump ahead, but I hate that guy so much, but I might see old Tommy coming out, a little pain train action on that guy, but I'd be okay with it.
I think they'll be fine. I think he won't focus on that so much.
True. But, I mean, they could still drop the gloves and I'd be like, fuck yeah. But that's okay.
It'll be fine. Okay. So we gotta get through the rest of the scoring here. There are plenty more goals to talk about. Second period, Brendan Gallagher ties it up at 2 with his 10th. Then Jeff Petrie. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh boy. Second period, gotta
sick.
Say. Did not look very good. Those first 2-plus minutes did not look very good at all. The Canadiens, they get in 1 minute 15 seconds worth of time, they score 3 goals to go up by 2, and unfortunately chased Phoenix Copley out of the net as a result.
Yeah.
And Braden Holtby, who was the backup coming off of his injury, but scheduled as the backup that evening, had to come in and promptly stopped everything that was thrown at him. Thank goodness. Not that I thought Copley did badly, but again, the team kind of needed a change at that point. So they were trailing 4-2. Backstrom gets his 6th on a wrister, assisted by Juice and Bowie, both of whom playing much better as of late, to pull within 1. And then not much happening. Well, okay, so a minute 2 into the third, not much after that, but a minute 2 in the third, Caps go on a power play. Let me see if I can capture who the naughty penalty was. Okay, so Jordy Benn tripped Nicholas Backstrom, and the captain capitalizes with his 15th, assisted by Carlson again and Wilson again, his 4th on the power play. So nothing happening then. They go to overtime, the 3-on-3. And I love this. So every time Lars Eller touched the puck, he got booed by his old home team crowd at the Bell Center. And then at 3:34, he takes another shift and promptly puts away the wrister to end it, sending the Capitals home with a 2-point game.
That was great. Great. And you know what? A big old FU to the Canadians, like with the booing. Although, not that Caps fans are totally... Well, I don't know, actually. I don't know if I've ever been to a game where, you know, a former player has ever been booed, to be honest. Have you?
No. Well, I mean...
So I just think, you know, but whatever. It's that kind of crap I hate. But you know what? Good for the Tiger. Good for him. Because he, you know, he came out and he did his thing. And it's like, hey, screw you guys. I don't care if you're booing. I'm here for the Caps. And he wins it.
Awesome to see. Look, just loved it. I just about leapt off my couch when I saw that. That was just a thing of beauty. So quick rundown of the vitals. Okay, so, oh boy, shots on goal. 44 for Les Canadiens. And 34 for the good guys. So that means the two goalies split everything literally down the middle, just about. Holtby stopping all 22. Face-off percentage, slight edge to the Caps. Power play, 1-for-4 Canadiens, 1-for-2 Caps. 15-11 penalty minutes more for the Caps. Slight out-hitting, the hitting game, slight edge to the Caps, 27-20. Number of shots, you would imagine that would mean a number of block attempts or blocks, 18-15. Good guys. Possession game. The majority of this probably happened in the second period because that was, you got to admit, that was pretty ugly second period. But 15 giveaways to 21 for the Caps, 10 takes for the Canadiens, and 8 for the Caps. Very sloppy game, but the right people stepped up, kept them in the game, and won the game for them. So Good for them. Shots on goal by period. Oh, God. Again, sloppy game until the Caps managed to pick it up in the third. 18-8 Montreal, 16-11 in the second. 14-7 Caps in the third. And three shots for the Canadiens, only one for the Caps, but it's the only one that counted because it's the only one that went in. Your three stars of the game, the captain gets the number one star, Jeff Petrie, defenseman for the Montreal, second star, and John Carlson, third star. That's going to be a theme of the show as well. So we're going to jump on over quickly to the next game, which was back home. Against my friend Ian's best favorite team, the Chicago Blackhawks. And let's just get right into it. Tom Wilson gets his second, 54 seconds into the game, making the splash as he always does, getting in the way of an Alex Ovechkin pass and tapping his stick on the puck just right. So it went in and knocking down the goaltender afterwards in the process. But that was afterwards. We'll let him slide with it.
And I'm so glad that wasn't some penalty or some big old moment, because it is Tom Wilson. If it was anybody else, no one would have cared. But you know what? But there is a point. You know, when the goalie is so far out, hey, you know, that's it. You know, then you're not super protected, and that's on you. The tip in by Wilson, awesome. No intentional, goalie, whatever.
I think we saw how much of horse's rear ends the officials made of themselves, so that I don't think there was going to be any repeat of that.
True.
Okay, so moving on. 5.5 minutes or so later, 6:36 to be exact of the same period, Andrei Burakovsky gets his third of the season, assisted by another one of your favorites, Jacob Vrana, and Matt Niskanen with his seventh of assist of the year on the power play. Nice to see 65 getting some power play time. I think the coaches are gaining a little more confidence in his game.
He just needs to have confidence in this game. So
he does.
I don't know. I went into this podcast today thinking, okay, I'm so hyped up about all the wins. And then I think that I still have my teacher side of like good, stars and needs improvement list. And so Burakovsky, he's going to frustrate the heck out of me. But I'm so glad to see, again, like you said, just, the coaches aren't giving up on him. If that has to work to keep him motivated, to keep playing well, because he has the skill. He's got the talent. He just needs to stop trying so hard and just play hockey and enjoy it. Stop stressing about the statistics of what you are, what you can and cannot do, or what you have and have not done since the season started. So,
I hate to be the downer, Debbie Downer of this, but we've seen that before, where it looks like he's gaining confidence, and then he just slides back into whatever funk he goes back into. But maybe this time it'll stick. We'll see. Going on to the rest of the scoring, so you talk about an FU to your old team. Well,
right.
here was a big one right here. Michael Kempney with his first of the season.
Yes. Good.
A slapper from nearly the point, assisted by Vrana and Eller, who knows a thing or two about saying FU to his former team. And
sorry, I was having a drink.
No, that's fine. I was kind of right there with you. I don't know what you're having, but I'm in a festive mood, too. I'm having some cranberry ginger ale mixed with my good old red berry parmesan. So,
yay, Gil. All right, cheers.
Tis the season.
Michael Kempney, one of my favorites. Of my freaking favorites this season. And he looks so good at this. And I'm so, I agree. The FU to the other team is your former team. Awesome.
Was a good week for Anna's teacher's pets.
It was. God, we'll talk about that later. All right, okay. Get through this.
So, Hawks made it a little bit interesting, pulling within one. Brandon Saad with his seventh, and then in the third period at 5:23, Gustafson with his second, assisted by Artem Anisimov and Nick Schmaltz.
I hate that name.
He tries to play with those Blackhawk guys, but he's not a man. He's just chicken goo.
There you go. And, yeah, he has an ew last name. So.
Yeah. Like I said, they made it interesting, but Devontae Smith-Pelly, about a minute and a half later, breaks through and with a great play by Travis Boyd, I thought. And Carlson got in there with the secondary assist, his 17th of the year. Smith-Pelly's fourth on a wrister. A minute and a half later, gets the insurance goal, and they ran away with it 4-2.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's fine.
You want me to go?
Go ahead.
I was going to say that what was so great about one, again, love, I do. I've always liked Smith-Pelly, but when he made that goal and he just sort of stood there, it was like that mic drop moment. He just stood there like, hell yeah, do you all see that? It was so freaking great. And you know, the team came up and it was like, oh, this is so awesome. So yeah, it was great. I'm glad to see him. You know, he's one I'm not worried about and being in a slump or whatever else. And he doesn't, you know, the mental block isn't there with him, but good on him. But his body language after the goal was freaking brilliant.
Yeah. I saw exactly what you're saying. I like to call that his any given Sunday moment. He stood there. Yep. Yep. That's why I'm worth $1 million right there.
Exactly.
$1 million.
That's right, bitch. Let's go. All right. Sweet. Are we running out of time, or you still want to do this Task Friday game?
We're about halfway there, so quick rundown of the vitals. Okay, so while we love that the Caps are winning, seems to be a theme here that they're kind of winning ugly a bit. I pointed this out in the True Caps Fans room, that they start kind of slow, and then they pick it up at the end, and yeah, that's seems to be their trend, and I guess everybody's okay with that, but the thing of it is, when you head towards the playoffs, which eventually they will, if they keep winning, you're going to have to learn to play a 60-minute game. So they still have some fine-tuning to do, and it does show in the stats here. Shots on goal, 39-27 Blackhawks. If your goalie's hot, that's fine, but your goalie's not always
so much
going to be hot.
Right.
Face-off, Caps can do a little bit better, 50.9 to 49.1 for the Hawks. Power play still looks good. Penalty kill was a perfect 3-for-3 for the Caps, and they were 1-for-3 on the PPE. Penalty minutes, Craig Lachlan made a point of saying this during the game. Chicago, not a very physical game, so not a whole lot of penalties, not a whole lot of hitting. So 6 minutes in penalties each, and 6 to 8 hits wise edge to the Caps. So not a very physical game. Shot blocks, 21-11 Caps, which you would expect if they give up that many shots. Possession game, this game had a nice flow to it. 8-6 giveaways, bad on the Caps, but not horrible, I guess. 9 takeaways for the Blackhawks. And 7 for the Caps. So, like I said, nice flow. Not double digits, so a nice flow to the game. Shots on goal. This, like I said, I don't like. 14-12 in the first Blackhawks. 10-9 second for the Blackhawks. 15-6 in the third for the Hawks. So, again, 39-27 total. Not a trend I like seeing. But, again, your goalie stays hot, then you're fine. But it's those moments where the goalie's not so hot. You know, you've left him in the freezer like what I did with my soda the other night. Mrs. Blue Liner, you know, had to whack me over the head with a frying pan again. So you get the idea. Three stars of the game with a big middle finger to his former team, Michael Kempney, the number one star. Andre Burakovsky, the number two star. And the number three star, somebody who wears number 43 and plays right wing and got the first goal of the game, Tom Wilson. Just some guy who, just playing really awesome right now.
Some guy.
Okay, so moving on to the third game. in this set. Second of two back-to-back home games against the Detroit Red Wings. Going to go over this really quick. And Terry, I can't remember his name. Nice to see you, Anthony. See you.
Okay. Now, speaking of which, did you watch the game?
I did.
Okay. So I tweeted this out, which I hate saying you tweeted. It sounds so stupid, but I did. The amount of times I was going to take a drink, having to hear Locker and Joe B say his name and talk about him. And Alan May not being able to say his name, but Rob Carlin can say this guy. He was the focus of the commentating during this Detroit game. It was insane. Like, you know, you get fixated on somebody, you want to, you know, you make a reference and they're having a great play or they had a great period or they, you know, some monumental thing. But when it's somebody on the opposing team and he does have a cool last name, if you can say it. But I was like, shit, I'm going to make this into like a drinking game because the amount of times his name, like I should go back and I don't think I have it DVR'd anymore, but and like tally the amounts because I don't think I've ever heard a player's last name mentioned so much.
But. Well, I right now I would have to say, and that was his 10th goal of the season. I'd have to say he's one of the better players on that team. They're doing surprisingly well.
Right. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. I'm just saying his name was just about everything of the commentating, which just was like, wow, for not being on our team, that's, you know, whatever. But yeah, you know, good for him. But for some reason that I just felt like, oh my God, I would be wasted if I took a drink for every time I heard his last name. But
we're gonna have to remember that for next time. There's a featured name that if they go into overdrive about that, then yeah, that might have to be a drinking game that we
do.
Okay, so second period. Still 1-0 Detroit, 12-13 in with a wrister. Boy, there's that guy again. Tom Wilson with his third ties it up 1-1 on a nice wrister, I have to say.
Beautiful.
Top of the slot. Just took advantage of the space and time that he had. Beautiful shot. Wrister, like I said, his third, assisted by Backstrom and Ovechkin. So that ties it up. No further action scoring-wise until the third. Kempney gets in on the act again, assisted
Woo-hoo!
By Travis Boyd and Burakovsky. So that whole group's starting to gel. The second and third pairings and groups are starting to gel again. And Alex Ovechkin puts it away, middle of the third, 8:34 to be exact, with his 16th of the year, assisted by Nick Dowd and Tom Wilson with his fifth assist of the year. That's when, you know, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but for about the last 5 minutes of the game, I don't know what it was. Detroit emptied their net and they just could not hit it for beans. I don't know. I was just getting tired of that. It was really, really baffling, but yeah. Look at the vitals. Again, stop me if you heard this to me before, from me
stop.
Before. Ha ha. 32-20 shots on goal. Guess who got the 32?
Not us.
The guy's wearing red, not from right. Washington. Yeah.
Boo.
But improved performance at the faceoff dot. 57.6 win percentage. Power play dried up like me when I take Mucinex. 0-3 both sides. Penalties in minutes, 6 each. Hits, caps far more into this hits-wise, 23-12. Block shots, again, if you're going to give up a lot of shots, you're going to end up blocking a lot of them as well. 21-14, good guys. Possession game, kind of split down the middle. Only 5 giveaways for the Winged Wheelers, 12 for us. A little sloppy. Takeaways, 11 for us and 9 for the Wings. Shots on goal by period, 14-5 edge, for the Wings in the first period. So again, another slow start. 8-4 for the Caps in the second. And I was kind of amazed at this. 14-7 for the Wings in the third. So a slow start and a slow ending, if you think about it.
Yeah.
But, your goalie's hot, so.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I have a question for you.
Shoot.
So, I noticed the pattern also. I don't think anyone who was watching the games this last week didn't see the pattern of them coming out sluggish, tired, not quite into the game yet, and then rallying, you know, the second and third. Do you think this has anything to do with Cousy and Oshie being out?
It might. I won't lie. That certainly has an effect. Cousy being the top line center up until this point, might be a little much to expect the first line to get into it as quickly. Although, I mean, as they say, next man up, and it is the first line, so they are going to have to step up their game a little bit more, even without Cousy in the lineup. And of course, Oshie always counted on for second line scoring and possession. So in that aspect, yes, it might have some effect. But again, this team has been renowned for its depth. It's a tired phrase, but you got to keep saying it. Next man up. And so if the second line doesn't deliver, then you got to expect more from the third line and the fourth line and so on and so forth. And so far, they're delivering when it counts. I just hope it's not a crashing thud when, again, as I keep saying, the goalie, you know, is colder than an ice cube in January, and the scoring dries up. So, but right now they're on a good run. So there is validity. I can't talk. Maybe too much brandy. There is a bit of validity, I would say, to those two guys being out and that affecting the starts of the game. But as long as the depth players can continue to compensate, I don't think it's anything too much to worry about. At least not yet. Going to skip the three stars of the game, except, of course, guess who was the number two star. But this is the only place he's going to be number two, and that's going to be Tom Wilson. See what I did there?
Hooray. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so moving on to moving on to the final game of the week, and that was another, weekend matinee against the Rangers at the famed Madison Square Garden. Once again, Caps fall behind early. Jimmy Vesey, 9-12 in the first with his eighth. Second period, they fall behind 2-0 again with the guy whose name I'm not even going to try to pronounce.
Yes, I know. It's actually classic. It's a great last name that no one can say.
Yeah. So that guy puts the Caps down 2-0. Now this is the start. The feature of this game. This is the start of the ever popular Dads and Mentors trip for the Caps. It's a popular thing around the league that teams do now. And Nick Dowd got his second of the year, and great to see him celebrating with his dad after the game. That was just a thing of beauty to see. But a proud moment for him. He gets his second assist by Carlson and Brett Conley. Right place, right time, tipping in the shot. And then 6 minutes later, oh boy, wow, probably the prettiest goal of the week. Jacob Vrana with his sixth, stealing the puck from his end behind the blue line, taking it over the middle, off the left wing, and towards the goal. And into the backhand shelf, where Mama hides the cookies. Name that and claim it.
No.
Okay. Anyway.
Now when you're talking about Bronn, there's no jokes.
Well, Right, but
I'm kidding.
I'm not going to pretend that I'm some world class hockey announcer. So that I would think that's deserving of.
That's true.
A world class hockey announcer describing that goal. So
I'll give it to you.
Okay. Yes, you will. having too much fun with this. Sorry.
Apparently. All right. I like the side of kill. All right. Keep it going.
Yep. So Vrana ties it up at two. And then.
But hold on. Can we just talk about an unassisted goal?
Yeah. Well, he took the puck. He took the puck. His
but
end.
It was fucking amazing. I mean, come on. Like his, and I've said from last season to this season, his speed is sick. And I'm so glad to see that, you know, he would just, I don't know, it just sort of solidified everything right there where it was, you know, got it and he's fast and he's got this, the skill, the speed, everything. And he scores and it's the dad weekend, you know, it's all these things. It's so happy for him. So way to go 13, but that goal was hot.
Well, I said it was the prettiest one easily all week. Probably so far this year too.
Yeah. It was great. I really like that was just one that I was like, hell yeah, way to go. And I agree. I'm not taking anything away from McDowell because that was great too. And I think him and his dad won the dart challenge that the players and the dads had afterwards. So hats off to them for that. But sorry. Okay, go ahead.
No, it's fine. Okay, so 3 minutes later, the captain with his 17th seems to be given a lot of tips because it was another tip in, puts them up 3-2, and so that takes them into the third period. Ryan Strome gets his second for the Blue Shirts, assisted by Howden and a guy by the name of Pionk, and... very interesting name there, too, because I'm pretty sure that was the sound of the toilet that when I dropped a bottle of soap in there. Pretty sure that was the sound it made, or at least that's what it sounded like to me anyway. So that ties the game. And then Brett Connolly puts them up 4-3, assisted by Carlson. That's his 20th assist, 20-0.
Such a badass.
With about that many games played, too, can you say Norris Trophy candidate, anybody?
Yes, exactly. How about winner?
How about winner? How about fucking being nominated for once?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He looks good. He just, but I will say, again, I had a moment where put a tweet out there saying that I was ready for him to score, not just assist, but I was ready for him to score because, man, does he have like a bullet? And I was hoping he was close. But you know what? His stats right now, awesome. Another guy that just has just stepped into an amazing leadership role and one to be admired and, you know, not getting penalty minutes, not fighting, not doing this, but he is, you know, he's there to take care of his boys, but he's just not, you know, just playing damn good hockey. So yeah, just, I was hoping that Kempney would get his third in three games and it didn't happen. He was close, but it didn't happen. I'm okay with it. Cause we never did talk about the Travis Boyd moment that he had with Kempney.
No, we didn't. And before we get to that, I just want to point out that assist was Carlson's 20th of the season, but third of that game.
It was an amazing. He just is on fire. It's on fire. He looks great. He looks great. So I'm, yeah, 74. Way to go.
Absolutely. And so then Tom Wilson gets the insurance goal. He breaks the empty net shooting drought with his fourth, assisted by Kempney, and that locks it up at 18:52 of the third. You talk about a 200-foot effort. Well, that was pretty much a 200-foot shot that he made.
Right. No, that was, you know, empty net or not, it was That was Tommy. So I'm just going to end it there. So we're just, I'm just happy to be able to talk about wins. And of course, now I don't know what our time frame is, but I know, you know, going into the Islanders game tonight. Oh, sorry. You want to do the stats?
No. We'll do a quick rundown, then we'll do a preview. No, this game was a little bit closer on paper, except for the faceoff. The one glaring stat, as far as I can see, is maybe the faceoff percentage, win percentage, 64.3 for the Rangers. Ouch, kind of awful. Power plays both stunk, 0-for-2. For both sides, not very many penalties, of course. 42 hits to 33 for the Caps. Now, kind of a physical game, but not as many penalties. Good to see the refs swallowing their whistles for once. Wait a minute, for once? Never mind. On paper, not much to see here, I thought. Three stars of the game, John Carlson, number one for his three assists. Ought to be, I don't know if they've announced the three stars of the week, but he ought to be up there if they haven't announced it. Brett Conley, number two star, and Jacob Vrana with a goal and assist, the number three. Okay, sound like you want to get into the preview, at least for tonight's game, so go for it.
No, I just... I don't know. Like, I had such mixed feelings, and then I was about them seeing Trots and Islanders and what was it going to be like. But I saw a very humbling and I thought heartfelt little clip of Barry Trots being interviewed, saying that it was, you know, one of the best moments in his life and with the team, the Stanley Cup and everything. And it was a good chapter to close and kind of ended on, you know, on that note. And I just admire him and I'm glad that he was able to get his recognition tonight from the players. I know he said it was going to be a little bit weird, you know, to see them on ice tonight and him not being the coach, but, you know, he has admiration for Reardon and the players. That's never going to go away. I think it's going to be, I don't know. I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. I don't know. But then of course, then you got the Clutterbuck and I freaking hate that guy. That I think there's going to be some fights. I think there's going to be some, So there's going to be some drop of glove moments for sure. Cause that guy's just an ass. He's just an ass. I hate him. But I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. Like, I'm looking forward to it. I think, you know, the guys have had their dads, their mentors there. They're all kind of, you know, riding a high. Let's just hope they keep with it, because I think after this, they have a couple of days off and then they play the Devils.
Yep. It's actually 3 days that they have off. And then they play the Devils on Friday, and then they play Anna's team Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
Says Anna.
It does. Well, it says Anna, but yeah, but I'm going to be at that game.
That's right. You are going to be at that game.
Yeah, like nosebleed. But I don't care. I'm going with I've got diehard fans. Two women that I work with that are like, we got to go, we got to get, you know, teachers together, who wants to come. So there's a group of us going to the Ducks game. And I am so excited. I don't care where I sit. Like, this group is just so fun and they love the Capitals, and they go to, you know, one is senior season ticket holder, so she goes to everything. The other one has, like, you know, in with the group and goes to every, I don't know, fifth game or however that works out. But yeah, so I'm excited. I'm super pumped to go to that. It's sort of like a matinee game, so Good times.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you got to say, the Capital One Arena, I don't think there's a bad seat in that house. Last game I went to live, you couldn't get any higher. We were literally in the top row of the nosebleeds. Want to know how I know? When they were singing the anthem, it sounded like Rocky Mountain High. So that's how far up we were. We still had a great time, still saw a great sight line. So can't say there's a bad seat in the house in that whole place. Got to love being there. Plan on being there as much as I can, a little bit more often. But if my employer wants to shoot me more dollars my way, that'll help things along. But anyway, okay, so we're starting to run down a bit on time. So we need to get over to the... Ah, yes. Need to get over and talk to our farm boys, the Chocolate Soldiers. All right, so let's get over to Mr. Don McLaren's info here. If I can pull that up. Let's see. All right. Okay, so the... Wow, lots of detail here. Okay, so for week 8 of the AHL season, Bears had, as is customary for the AHL games, it was a weekend set. First game was a 6-2 loss to the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. If anybody's curious, that is the farm team of the hated Philadelphia Flyers, who I believe just fired their GM today, if anybody's interested.
All right.
Malenstein and Megna got the goals for the Bears. Samsonov, unfortunately, as Don puts it, was on the wrong end of the matchup. Stopping 23 of 29. Bears 0 for 4 on the power play, 3 for 5 on the PK. So special teams kind of 50-50. So that was the Friday night game. Saturday, much better result, as he says. Bears played the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins, and you don't have to guess whose farm team that is. So, Vitek Vanacek with the start in that game. 3-2 win over the Baby Pens. Megna, again, makes the scoreboard. Shumakov and Scarbosa, the other goals for the Hershey Bars. PK was much better, 5-for-5, and 1-for-4 on the power play. So if you want another interesting stat, the Bears have beaten the Baby Pens 3 times already this young season, which is already better than how they did against them last year. So Don's outstanding in their field. He praises Jason Megna, 5 goals and an assist on the year. Sergei Shumakov, he says, played very well in his return. He'd just come off an injury. On the blue line side, Logan Pyatt celebrated his 500th professional game against the Baby Pens. Oh, this is interesting. I didn't know this. He was diagnosed with a sarcoma in 2015. It caused him to miss 2 whole seasons. Played a part of a season in the Asian League, get back to playing shape, and worked his way back into pro game shape. So good for him. Obviously, Vanacek got the better end in the cage. Real quick, okay, so last week we had the backup goalie replacement, the emergency goalie, who was Gavin McHale from the University of Manitoba. A couple things about him, of course, obviously the team presented him with the jersey. And I thought that was awesome. But he's got a connection, as it turns out, to guess who? Tom Wilson. Gavin, as it turns out, of course, he's coach of the women's team, the goalie coach of the women's ice hockey team at the U of Manitoba. He was... Okay, so it's actually Tom Wilson's girlfriend, Taylor Pischke, who is an alumnus of the U of Manitoba. And her father is Garth Pischke, 2-time Olympian, and coach of the university's men's volleyball team. And she herself was a standout volleyball player at the university. So, yeah, just Don wanted to throw that in there. So we're taking time mentioning that. And, yeah, I understand if you were not happy about mentioning maybe us mentioning Tom Wilson's girlfriend, but...
No, I was just playing. I was silent. I was just totally joking with you. She is an amazing volleyball player. I've been a sports lover, but I've always loved beach volleyball. She's damn good. I didn't realize, I didn't know who her dad was until, I don't know, a couple months ago. I guess I saw something and was like, oh, there's the connection. No, she's adorable. She's more than adorable. She's hot, but she's adorable. And yeah, University of Manitoba. So it's all crazy and all Winnipeg. And then, of course, my mom is from there. So Thomas and should, you know, we should be friends because I have a Winnipeg connection also.
Very cool. Okay, just at the risk of going too far over, I did have three notes I wanted to run through real quick. I mentioned last week that I could not find the next game the Caps had against Winnipeg, so I thought they were done for this year. That's not true, as I found out later. The next game they have is this season, which is Sunday, March the 10th, which happens to be, guess what, somebody's birthday.
It is my birthday.
So hopefully you get a nice present full of karma there.
Let's hope so, yeah.
Yeah, let's hope
especially
so.
Especially after, like, what do you got, Patrick Laine scoring 5 goals yesterday. We don't need that happening on March 10th.
Yeah, pants trick plus one was that was. So
right.
Yeah, hopefully not. Now, the other thing I wanted to go into a little bit deeper, a little bit more. Okay, so Sonia Kendall is a friend of ours, friend of the show.
Yes.
And she is the admin, the host of the Washington Capitals fans page on Facebook. And I just want to give her a bit of love here because she pointed out a very interesting stat that Alex Ovechkin is rapidly climbing up the charts for most career road goals. And ladies and gentlemen, this is, I've always said I value the input of our female fan base. And this is why. This is why. Because
awesome.
I would not have even thought to have mentioned this as far as number of road goals. Because do you know what that means? It means that despite the fact that the other team, the home team, has the last line change. Okay, that's a rule. That's been a rule forever. The home team has the last line change. And even so, with their choice of who they can put out against this guy, they still can't stop him. That is one hell of an observation. And
thank you, Sonia. That is an awesome, awesome, awesome thing to know. Holy shit.
So,
love
yeah.
it.
So my hat's off you to you, Sonia, for pointing that out. I didn't see it anywhere else. But if I did, she was the first. So, yeah. Great job as always, and again, that's the Washington Capitals fan page. They have a pretty funny graphical game thread that they do every game. Once you check that out, that's pretty awesome there. So with that, unless you had anything else you needed to add, we're over on time. So says Mr. Producer Jeffrey. So we got to wrap it up here.
I'm good. I'm totally good. I'm ready for them to kick some Islander ass tonight. That's
okay.
It.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. So with that, for Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point. Wrapping up the show here and reminding you over at the state of Maryland, Commonwealth of Virginia, and the District of Columbia, that controlling the pet population has its benefits that will pay itself off in spades.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Hello again. It's me here, the Blue Liner on Point. So we've come to the end of episode 86, and as promised, this one is dedicated to the memory of Becca Thomas. Becca. This one, I'll be honest, pretty hard to get through. For my part of it, I only had the pleasure of knowing her for almost exactly 2 months, just a little over 2 months. But just to tell you the kind of person that she was, she made an impact even just in that short amount of time. She passed away on Thanksgiving. She was with friends, having dinner with friends, and unfortunately what happened was her heart gave out, and she could not be revived. She was in New Jersey at the time with friends having Thanksgiving dinner when it all happened. Just to get this out of the way, unfortunately right now, any plans for a burial or a funeral or anything like that are unknown. But when they do become known, if they ever do, we'll be certain to let you know. She was 33 at the time, and as many of my fellow fans have commented, that's way too young. That's an understatement. So just to give you the medical background, in case anyone was curious, what happened was she was in a really bad car accident back in June of this year. She ended up in intensive care for 3 weeks, and complications developed due to the fact that her body went septic after acquiring a really bad infection as a result. Next thing she knew, she was having severe chest pain, difficulty breathing, exhaustion to the point of collapsing, and it turned out that her tricuspid valve had disintegrated. Very important valve that leads to the heart, so I've been told. She was scheduled for surgery to replace it. Obviously, it didn't work out so well, unfortunately. Well, her body may have been worn down. So that's the story of how that happened. But even though that was broken by life, her soul stayed beautiful and intact. And I'm going to give you some examples. She was born to serve. And so to that end, straight out of high school, she graduated from Delaney High School, by the way, which is in Timonium, Maryland. And she still has a lot of friends from there. She was born to serve, and as soon as she graduated high school, she enlisted in the United States Marine Corps and served there for several years. I'm going to apologize beforehand. A lot of my information, unfortunately, I kind of had to dig through secondhand. So if I don't get any, if there's certain things I don't get right, I do apologize. But I do know she served in the Marine Corps for several years admirably. She then went on to receive training as a nurse. Funny thing is, you go onto her Facebook page, she doesn't make mention of any of this. It's just, to her, it was just a duty. It's nothing to brag about, nothing to hang your hat on, no milestone, nothing like that. It was just what she did, who she was. That's the kind of person she was. But another example of how she was and who she was the fact that she received threats and bullying when she first enlisted, and even after she enlisted in the Marine Corps. Not like anybody was going to change her mind, but she told me the story
when we were at the wedding, which is where I met her, wedding of a mutual friend that I officiated, and she was the quote unquote best person at. And she was filled the role of normally what the best man would, but there was no best man, so she was the best person for the job because she was the best person for the job. And you know, you could tell she was struggling with everything, but she was the glue that kept things going for that ceremony. She made sure everything was right. Everything was going to go off without a hitch, right down to the last detail. And one of my, it's funny how you remember little stuff, but right before the bride walked the aisle to the altar, she turned to me and asked me if her tie was straight. And I don't know why this sticks out or why I remember it, but it's one of my favorite memories of her, and that she just wanted to make sure everything was right for everybody else. She wanted to make sure she got it right. So, and later that evening, I discovered she was a Caps fan. I didn't even know she was part of the True Caps fans room. I wish I'd known that sooner. But yeah, I didn't even know she was even a Caps fan until I spied the, as I said before, on a previous episode, I spied the Weagle tattoo, the logo, the Weagle logo, Washington Eagle logo, on her arm. And, pardon me. We ended up talking Caps hockey for a bit, and I remember her saying that one of her favorite players of all time is Brooks Like. And that's another example of who she is, because Brooks, at least the last couple of years he was a Cap, wasn't exactly the most popular guy amongst us fans, but that was Becca, you know, never afraid to go against the grain. So, I'm sorry that this is all broken and disjointed, and I agonized over this for several days. I wish I had better information, better stories to tell, but it's been said that a measure of a person is how many friends they have. And if you, again, if you refer to her Facebook page, which I had to rely on heavily, she has over 1,500. So that's nothing small, at least not to me. I don't think it's something she took lightly either. And that you could tell anyone who's ever met her in person, anyone who's ever known her, contacted her, had the pleasure of communicating with her. She had an impact. That's who she was. Well, one last thing I wanted to mention. I know this is running long, and I'm truly sorry for rambling, but I really didn't know how to do this because it just hit me so hard. But the last communication I had with her, at least one-on-one, was a post she made a week beforehand where she had mentioned that one of her pet peeves was malapropisms, people who purposely say things that have another meaning. And she cites an example, for all intensive purposes, when, of course, the phrase should be for all intents and purposes. Seeing that kind of thing drives her up a wall, and I chimed in. I said, well, somebody told me recently to reframe from doing something. And she replied back a little while later saying, well, you can't take anything for granted. And we just went back and forth like that a few times. And something simple like that, where she took time. I wasn't feeling too good that day. But something simple like that, that she did by taking time, just put a smile on my face. Because again, that's who she was. And it's another favorite memory I have of her. So I'm going to wrap this up here. Sorry it's been too long, but I felt like I owed her this much. So she's obviously a great person, great Marine, great Caps fan, wonderful, beautiful soul. So wherever you are, even though I'm an Army brat, give you a nice big oorah wherever you're at. Don't you take anything for granted either. And we're going to cheer for the Caps to repeat nice and loud for you this year. Becca, we love you and we miss you.